The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show.
Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Matthew McGrath.
Hey, Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Flying the plane for us today is another Matt. His name's Matt Roberts, and he's our in the production booth helping us put the show on today. Hey, listen, if you're brand new to the show, this show is fueled by Online Trading Academy. And I always like to take just a few minutes at the beginning of the show to explain to you what it is that we do at Online Trading Academy. And guys, we've been doing it for almost 21 years now, teaching people how to trade and invest in the financial markets. We've got 45 locations across the United States, 46 now that Austin's 46. Come on board, across the United States and abroad. And what we do is we help the average Joe just learn how the financial markets work, so that ultimately the average person could just open their own trading account and they could trade the financial markets if they wanted to. That's high frequency buying and selling, or of course do long-term investing in the financial markets. So those people that want to learn how to trade the financial markets, frequent buying and selling, they do it because they ultimately would like to produce some income about through that activity.
Sure.
There are some folks that come to the academy that love their job. They found their calling in life. But you know what? Let's face it. I mean, sometimes that dream job just doesn't pay as much as you'd like to make. And so they come in to supplement their income. We've had a lot of students that want to stay at their job. Maybe they're making good money, but they read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Or maybe they're a fan of Dave Ramsey and his radio show and his books. And they've decided that they'd like to create another stream of passive income.
Right.
And they can do that by trading. It doesn't take that much time to trade.
No.
So it's high frequency buying and selling in the financial markets. You can use it to, of course, supplement your income. That way you can enjoy that five-star vacation every year, or maybe buy your dream home or build your dream home. But then we have folks that would like to retire from their current position and just do full-time trading for a living.
Right. We've seen more and more of that lately.
Lots of people. And you know, these are folks that maybe they just chose the wrong career path to begin with. They've always been unhappy at their job. Folks that have just gotten tired of having other adults tell them what to do, you know, with their time, telling them when they've got to get out of bed and when they've got to come in and whether or not they can go to their grandkids' soccer practice today, whether or not that they can take off on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve to spend time with family. So those folks, a lot of them want to retire to trade full time for a living. They want to replace their income and pay the mortgage with it. Now, other folks that come to the academy are more interested in acquiring long-term wealth over time.
Right.
And, of course, that's how we acquire wealth. We don't do it overnight. We've got to have a plan for it, and then we need to contribute to accounts, but we need to have superior returns. Most importantly, what we've got to be able to do is protect the money that we have exposed to the financial markets.
Exactly. That's a critical component.
The most critical component is risk management if you're going to be in the financial markets. And, of course, long-term investors, most of them are hoping to get to a level of financial independence at some point in time in their life. That is, having enough money in their account so that they're not dependent. You don't want to be a ward of the state. You don't want to be dependent on the government solely for your income. I don't think most people want to be dependent on charity of any kind. Having your relatives pay your bills for you, like your kids, for example. You don't want to have to move in with your kids after you retire.
Yeah.
And so they'd like to have enough money in account to sustain themselves and their lifestyle for the rest of their lives, so they're no longer dependent on a job, right as well.
Yeah.
And that's what financial independence is. So we teach the investors that come to the academy how to identify the best investments, a good place to park your money over time, but then more importantly, how to capitalize on the markets, how to increase your gains, the returns on your investments.
Yeah. If I might add something, Chris, I see more and more people now who have maybe $400,000 to $600,000 saved for retirement, who are about to retire, who think that that's enough money.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you that that's not. I mean, that's above average. 96% of of people in this country die without any money.
Right.
So that's well above average. And the average person whose retirement age only has $30,000 saved. So you know, if you've got $400,000 to $600,000, that's above average. You're certainly doing well. But we need more than that to retire. We don't want to just exist in retirement. We actually want to thrive in retirement and do, things that we want to do, travel, contribute to charity, create a legacy for your family, things like that.
Yeah. You know, you bring up something interesting, and I was actually in the classroom with our students last week, and I was speaking about this subject matter. Because people that come to the academy, they're always kind of excited about the sexy thing that we teach, which is trading.
Right.
And because there's immediate gratification, and you've got money in your account, you go spend it if you want to, and have fun with it. Whereas investing, you've got to be disciplined enough to keep your money in an account and then manage that money,
right,
manage the assets that are in that account. Then you're not going to really reap a lot of satisfaction from that until it's time for you to retire.
Exactly. And this wasn't always the case, by the way. A long time ago, you could do that. You could just shovel money into a retirement account, mm-hmm, or a 401k or an IRA. And that's really the only decision you had to make, was whether you were going to save or not. But these are not those times anymore.
Right.
You also need to manage that money and make sure that it grows. You know, just this last January, when the market fell 10%, I met with numerous students who lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in their long-term account.
Sure.
Just in that month.
So, but you threw out the figure of $600,000 saved for retirement. Well, if you have been making $100,000 a year, and that's what it costs for you to live, because remember, you still got to pay taxes on this money that you withdraw from these tax deferred accounts. Then how much money are you going to have to withdraw from this account every year? If you're withdrawing $100,000 from that, it's going to last you 6 years.
Yeah.
Unless you keep it in the markets. But you'd have to stay pretty aggressive. And the idea behind long-term investing is that as you approach retirement age, you want to draw in those financial horns of risk.
Right.
And go more with a conservative view of that. So, you know, if you made 10% on your money on your $600,000 account, that's $60,000.
Right.
So you still have a deficit there, $40,000 a year, that you have to draw out of the equity that's in your account.
Right.
And you're paying taxes,
you know,
on all of that.
A lot of people assume also that their expenses are going to go down when they retire. But, you know, that's really the time of our life where many of our expenses go up.
Right.
I mean, I've seen people totally wiped out just from one medical issue.
Sure. Hey, if either of these concepts resonate with you, if you think you'd enjoy the freedom of schedule as well as the unlimited earning potential that comes along with being a trader and trading your own account, or maybe you can see yourself managing your long-term investments while you grow wealth over time, you know, here's an idea. Check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. TradingAcademy.com. That's all one word. And by the way, it's a very comprehensive website. All kinds of information about the markets out there and about who we are. TradingAcademy.com. Go on out on the World Wide Web when you get the chance and check us out. We're going to pause for station identification. We'll be right back. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
And, you know, if you're just now joining us, this show is all about learning about the financial markets, how they work, the mechanics of that. We always try to keep it light, and we also try to keep it our vocabulary at a place where people can understand what we're
right.
talking about. So you're probably not going to hear us talk about naked puts and covered calls in the show today.
Right.
But we will talk about how the financial markets work, how we teach our students to trade successfully in the markets if they want to open an account and replace their income, or invest in the markets and build wealth over time, or both. And as I mentioned prior to the break, we've got a great website for you to go to. It's called TradingAcademy.com, T-R-A-D as in Dan, TradingAcademy.com. That's all one word. And there's just tons of stuff on that website that I think are valuable to people that have an interest in the financial markets.
Yeah, it's the most, I mention this all the time, but it's the most comprehensive educational website I've actually ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you could literally spend weeks on there.
Sure.
But some of my favorite tools on there, of course, you know, the first thing, as we discussed in the last segment, we need to know is what our number is, how much money we even need to have to retire. And
right.
so there's a great retirement calculator on there that estimates that, how much money you would need to retire comfortably. Some of my other favorite ones, there's a snowball debt elimination calculator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the first goals of most of my students in their mission statement of their trade plan is they want to eliminate all of their debt, or certainly at least their unsecured debt. And there's a snowball debt elimination calculator that shows you the fastest way, the most expedient way to do that.
Right.
And that was one of the tools that I used when I came here years ago. That was one of my first goals, was to eliminate debt. And I did. I actually eliminated all the debt in 9 months, believe it or not.
You know, while you're talking about that, of course, and this is something that we address in the classroom with our students, because, you know, students come to us because they want to change their lives from a financial aspect.
Right.
And you think about your credit cards, which, by the way, I've got a whole wallet full of credit cards. I just never carry a balance on them.
Right.
But I used to years ago when I was young. And, you know, you think about the things that you buy with those credit cards. Are you buying assets that appreciate in value? Are you using that leveraged in your favor to become more wealthy? Or right. are you going out and buying dinner with it and then paying 18% interest on top of the dinner that you had
right.
for the dinner that you've had? And it just doesn't make financial sense. And you know what? Listen to Dave Ramsey. He'll tell you that all day long. You've got to get rid of revolving debt.
Right.
And I saw Robert Kiyosaki on some show here. This is a couple several years ago. And he was preaching to the audience that, listen, and in fact, he had handed out scissors. They passed around scissors to everybody in the audience. And he told them to get out their credit cards and cut them up. Get rid of that revolving debt. And then somebody in the audience asked him if he had a credit card. And he goes, well, yeah, I do. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out an American Express Black Card.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you've never heard of it, it's the most prestigious credit card probably in the world. If you are approved for that card, then you could literally go out and buy a $300 million yacht on that card. And American wow. Express is going to front the money for you. It's by invitation only. And I don't know if it still holds true, but I know several years ago when I was kind of looking into it, that it was a $5,000 enrollment fee per year, subscription
wow.
fee per year to hold that card. So he pulled it out in the audience. They're all chanting, cut it up, cut it up, cut it up. And he's like, no,
right.
I'm not cutting up that card.
You know, that's one of the few things I disagree with Dave Ramsey on. So I agree with 95% of what he says. But there's two big things I disagree with him on. And one is I think everyone needs to have one credit card
sure.
if for no other reason than just emergencies. I mean, I can point to several times in my life that I had to have a credit card.
Sure.
But I'm like you. I pay the balance at the end of the month,
yeah.
right? I like to have it to earn the points, right, or to earn the cash back.
Me too,
I don't
yeah.
think there's anything wrong with that. And then the other thing I disagree with him on is he's a big proponent of index mutual funds in your long-term
right.
account. And, you know, in a 401k where usually the only option that they give you is index or is mutual funds, index mutual funds are the best of breed. You know, they're better than a managed mutual fund. They outperform them. But they still have three times the fees that exchange-traded funds have.
Right, right.
And again, if you are in a position like you're investing in an IRA or another long-term wealth account, exchange-traded funds are much better tools than index mutual funds. Those are really the only two main things that I disagree with him on.
Well, I think to be good in the financial markets and to make good decisions that you do need some education. Obviously, that's why Online
right.
Trading Academy exists. And I don't know that some of these guys that are financial, I'm doing air quotes here, experts, you know, have the bandwidth to really teach people how to manage their money in the markets.
Right.
So, you know, the advice that Dave Ramsey's giving is something that it's a one size fits all when we talk about indexed mutual funds. Anybody can go out and figure that out, and you got to Vanguard and buy one right now if you wanted to,
right?
And put your money in it. It's an easy solution, right?
Right.
But you know, I think the difference here is that oftentimes Dave is talking to people that don't have any savings at all. They don't have any clue what to do. Maybe they've got
sure.
a passbook savings where they're making a quarter or a half percent interest on that. And maybe an index mutual fund is better than that particular.
Well, and like I said, if your only retirement vehicle is a 401k and all your company offers you is a choice of mutual funds, and they're matching, by the way, you know, if your company's not matching anything in the 401k, which I see more and more of, we don't even want to participate in it.
Right.
Your money will
That's
be
the
much
big deal about
served.
The 401k is that your employer matches money.
Yeah,
right
so it's free money. So, the best of the mutual fund world is index mutual funds, which, by the way, for the listeners who don't know what an index mutual fund is, it's just a mutual fund that is set to mirror the performance of one of many indexes like the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ or the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The financial services sector, things like that. And the reason, as I was mentioning before, that exchange-traded funds make a better alternative to index mutual funds is, one, they do not have the fees that index mutual funds have. Two, they are liquid, which means we don't have to wait until 3 p.m. to sell it. With a mutual fund, they don't give you the current price when you sell it. You have to wait until the close of the trading day. You know, so on days like a couple months ago, remember the Dow Jones fell over 1,100 points in one day?
Right.
If you saw that coming and you called your mutual fund institution and told them to sell your index Dow Jones mutual fund, they're not going to give you the closing price or the price that it's trading at now. They're going
right.
to give you the closing price at the end of the trading day after the market's fallen 1,100 points. With an exchange-traded fund, it also mirrors the index, right? Mm-hmm. But it's liquid, so we just have to press the sell button.
Right.
We don't have to wait until 3 in the afternoon to get out of it. And, of course, the biggest benefit of exchange-traded funds over index mutual funds is because ETFs can be traded, we can place options on them to insure them,
right,
which, as you talked about in the last segment, is just as important as growing our account. We also need to insure it mm-hmm. so that we don't go through crashes or corrections. You can't insure a mutual fund. You can't place an option on a mutual fund, but you can place options on exchange-traded funds.
You mentioned the word liquidity or how liquid these are. A mutual fund is typically a basket of stocks, so your money is, in theory, diversified across all of those stocks in that fund. So if one of the stocks goes up dramatically, one drops dramatically, they can offset each other,
right,
and you don't end up losing money. But the problem is that most mutual funds don't outperform the markets year over year.
No.
And it's hard to get, high returns. So then that means you need to kind of study about these mutual funds, but you also need to understand the markets to an extent so you can move your money from one mutual fund to the other. And then you mentioned fees. Well, there can be load fees, which are basically sales commissions for the person who sold it to you. Management fees, typically 2% on average of your money, is going to go to a manager that's supposed to be quote-unquote cherry-picking these stocks so
right.
that they outperform the markets. And then when you withdraw it, there's a withdrawal
redemption
fee.
Fees.
There's
redemption fees.
Right.
And don't forget 12B1 fees, which
right.
are marketing and advertising. So as holders of the mutual fund, we get to pay for those lovely commercials that we see
right.
Them advertising and spending billions of dollars on each year. Again, so, exchange-traded funds don't have any of those fees, right?
Right? Right.
Because you're simply buying it through your broker. So in other words, if you get set up to trade stock through any broker, you automatically can buy and sell exchange-traded funds as well, and they don't have any of those fees. They're optionable, as I mentioned, so we can insure them, and we don't have to wait until 3 in the afternoon to sell it when there is a crash.
Right. If you're day trading for income, you can trade exchange-traded funds. They trade just like stocks. If you want to buy up a bunch of them and just hold them as an investment, then you can do that as well.
Sure.
And an exchange-traded fund, by the way, I don't think we have really truly explained what it means, but let's take the ticker symbol SPY, the
right.
spiders. So that ticker symbol, basically this particular asset will mimic the return of the blended S&P 500. So all of those 500 top companies in the United States or largest companies that are being publicly traded, the return from all of those are blended together.
Right.
So if you buy one share of ticker symbol SPY, that money is spread across 500 companies. You're automatically diversified.
Right.
And that's what we like about mutual funds. But then again, as Matt mentioned, there are no fees with it.
Right.
And most of these exchange traded funds have a companion ETF, which we call it an inverse ETF.
Right.
So let's say that you've got your money in ticker symbol SPY, but then the S&P 500 starts to go down and you're convinced it's going to continue. Well, you can sell out of that, or you can exercise your put option to get your money back.
Right.
And then what you can do is go to the inverse and put your money in the inverse of this, because ticker symbol SH
right.
is going to go up when ticker symbol SPY goes down.
Yeah, it does the opposite of the S&P 500.
Exact opposite.
So just to give your listeners a practical application of this, in 2008, when the stock market fell 39% and the average American lost 39% of their net worth, when the market fell 39%, the inverse exchange-traded fund of the S&P 500, ticker symbol SH that you were referring to, went up 39%.
Right.
So it literally does the opposite. So had
exactly.
you switched your retirement investment over from the S&P 500 to the inverse ETF, you'd have made 39%.
Right.
And
right.
that's huge, right?
It's massively huge, because if you can leverage assets that go up, and the thing is that the price goes up at the same velocity that the price is falling.
Right.
And markets fall so much faster than they climb, don't they?
Oh, my God, yes.
And we could show you example after example and chart after chart after chart where the charts, it takes 5 years to get back up to normal, only to drop 18, the same exact amount over the next 18 months, right?
Yeah, well, just to give you an example, if before the crash in 2008, 5 years before then, if you had invested $100,000 in the S&P 500, over 5 years, your money would have grown to $205,000. So you'd have basically doubled your money. But if you stayed in the stock market in 2008, it would have taken only 17 months for you to lose all of those gains and more.
Right.
You would have lost all of your profits and lost money overall.
Right. And, what's interesting about that scenario is that you've doubled your account, right, over 5 years, and then you end up losing more than what you gained. So now you've got to double your account again, don't you,
exactly,
to get back whole again.
Right.
So if you lose 50% of your account, you've got to have a 100% gain to get whole again.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't think it through.
Yeah.
But that's what you've got to do. And again, because markets rise so slowly, it takes forever. If you take a look at 2008, it was 2013 before we got back up to 2007 levels, right? So, you know what, folks? We're coming up here. We've got to have to pause again for station identification, but I hope you're enjoying the show. We want to invite you, of course, to stick around. Hey, I'm giving away some pretty cool things on the commercial breaks today, so there's a good incentive for you to stick around. This is Power Trading Radio. If you're just now joining us, this is Christopher Crum in studio today with Matt McGrath, and we are doing our best to provide a good episode of Power Trading Radio.
We're trying.
Is episode the right word for that?
They call them episodes?
I don't know. Either way, we're on the radio airwaves today, and we're talking about trading and investing. What we've been talking about are exchange-traded funds and how that might be a better investment for most people. Rather in lieu of mutual funds.
Yeah, and index mutual funds.
You know, the thing is, mutual funds exist for a reason, and the reason why they came into play is because back in the late 70s, the government passed a law that allowed the average Joe, middle America, to go ahead and save money tax-free in something called a 401k.
Right.
And then there are some other programs that are similar to it. But, you know, of course, this is very highly governed by law about what type of assets we can put in a 401k. And for the most part, most of these companies choose mutual funds because, again, you know, you're automatically diversified. You're in just one fund. Your money's spread across a variety of different companies' stocks. And there's a fund manager that's supposed to manage it and provide you with superior returns. Often doesn't happen.
Right.
0% of them outperform the markets year over year.
Yeah, there's not one that consistently outperforms the market. And 86% of them underperform the market each year. And
right,
most of them underperform the market by half.
Right.
So, for example, last year, the stock market finished the year up 21.83%. That's what the S&P 500 did last year. But I meet with countless students every week here, and one of the first things I ask them when I teach the workshop is, how many of you got 21.83% in your mutual funds last year? And, you know, I've only had one person all year, Chris, and I teach that workshop three times a week, that has raised their hand.
Sure.
That's how hard it is to do as well as the market.
Right.
And again, so if they're getting even 9%, they think that that's a great rate of return. And, you mm-hmm. know, that's not. When the market does 21.83%, 9% is not a good rate of return.
Right.
I'm more impressed with someone I meet who got 2%. In 2008,
right,
or 2% right, in 2011, or who's up 2% this year after that correction that we went through in January. That's much more impressive to me than someone who got 9% in 2017.
Sure. You know, so, but the mutual funds, oftentimes you just don't have a choice other than to select mutual funds, because there's usually about I don't even think there's a dozen, is there, in a 401k, probably around 8 or 10
right,
to choose
that's
from.
Another problem, too. It's not just mutual funds they're limiting you to, but it's a family of mutual funds.
Right.
So, like, maybe your company does only American funds,
right,
or your company only does T. Rowe Price funds or whatever. So they're really limiting your options to a bad investment to begin with, which is mutual funds, and then just a select family of those investments.
Yeah, so as you can tell, we're not really huge fans of mutual funds, at least knowing what we know now. But, I mean, I was that guy years ago that would just shovel money blindly.
I'd
max out that 401k every year thinking that, you know, eventually I'll be okay for retirement. And that's just not a very good plan at all. You got to know what your number is. We've been talked about that earlier. What's it take for you to become financially independent? And then you need to have a vehicle to take you there. And oftentimes a 401k is not going to be the end-all, be-all. If you've got a 401k at work and your employer does a great job of matching it, well, you know what? Go ahead and contribute the minimum that required to get the maximum contribution from your employer. Would
right,
you agree with that,
exactly,
Matt?
Exactly.
But then find other investments that are going to take you to your retirement goals or to your, you know, become financially independent, those types of goals. And you need to add to it. It's just not a standalone product. It was never meant to be a standalone.
No, and that's what's irritating about 401ks is when the government proposed that, it was supposed to be the third leg of three pillars of retirement, right? You would have Social Security,
yes,
a pension
right,
at your company, and then the 401k was a third way for you to save. Well, of course, companies immediately started eliminating pensions and replacing it with the 401k.
Right.
And again, between a 401k and an IRA, most people don't have the means to support themselves in retirement just from those two investments.
Sure. And the problem with a 401k is just simply this. Markets go up and markets go down. Well, if you want to be really good, if you actually want to be financially independent for retirement, you need to be able to continue to grow those accounts no matter what's happening in the markets.
Right.
And mutual funds simply don't have an inverse or a companion like exchange-traded funds do.
No.
So if the markets are going down, I mean, you're just susceptible to it. There's nothing you can do.
But the best you can do is most 401ks do allow you to change your mutual fund composition periodically, like once a month. And about the best you can do is, you know, in downtrends, switch to conservative mutual funds like bond funds or money market funds. But, you know,
a lot of them have a savings component,
right,
or a savings plan that you can go into,
right,
where your money's not in the market.
Right.
And so you can just simply, I call it going to cash. You're not cashing anything out. But
the problem is that move has already happened.
Right.
So in other words, we're now
lost
reacting.
Your money.
Yeah. So the market's gone down this month. So now next month we're going to switch to conservative mutual funds. Well, now then it goes back up. I mean, it's just a vicious cycle.
So exchange-traded funds, and I guess if we were to encapsulate what we're trying to get to here in this conversation, one is that if you've got a 401k, your employer's contributing to it, well, then contribute matching. I mean, if they're doing a matching program,
yeah,
then, you know what, contribute the minimum amount required to get the maximum employer.
Up to the percent that they're matching.
That's
the general rule.
But then you need to look at other investments. And I don't care. You know, I've been in all kinds of investments, anything that's going to appreciate in value, really. And so it could be almost anything. Of course, at the Academy, we teach you how to identify which stocks and bonds that you'd want to put your money into and park that money.
But then or ETFs, right.
But if you're going to be in a risky place like the financial markets, you've got to protect it.
Sure.
And we use puts, or it's an option. It's an option to sell that that asset on or before a future date at a specific price.
Yeah.
And so it's a legal binding agreement that allows us to get our money back.
Yeah, and that's what you're using to insure your investment accounts that can be insured, assets that can be traded, and that's why we recommend ETFs. Again,
right,
you can't place an option on a mutual fund, but you can place an option on an ETF.
Sure. And then the final part is just realize that your 401k is not supposed to be an end-all, be-all solution,
right,
to create financial independence for you for retirement. You need to have other things. And so that's what you probably ought to be thinking about doing.
You know, one point I was thinking of earlier when you were talking about IRAs, you know, when I came to the school, I didn't even know that you were allowed to trade out of an IRA. I had no idea. But, you know, you can roll your IRA over into any brokerage account, and you can trade stocks, options, exchange-traded funds, forex currencies, futures, even real estate if
right,
you want to. You can actually hold real estate
in your IRA.
So there's a lot more, you know, options within an IRA than there is traditionally within a 401k.
Sure. In fact, there is a loan program that allows you to purchase property and then actually have a loan against that property. And then you could put a renter in that property. They pay off the loan, which is basically like getting a return on your, you know, you're building equity in that.
No, I know someone.
And
who
then
knows
if
that.
There's cash flow left over from those rental payments, that actually goes into your IRA as a return.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of flexibility that you can do with an IRA. A lot of cool things. But you should just realize that 401k is supposed to be part of a three-legged solution.
Sure.
A three-pillared solution. And if you don't have a pension, then you're missing that pillar. You need to replace that pillar somehow.
Well, another thing I want to add to what you just mentioned, Chris, is I meet with so many people every week here that have an underfunded IRA where they maybe just have $5,000 or $10,000 in it. And they think, you know, it's past the point of no return. It's too late for them to save retirement. And again, in traditional investments like mutual funds or if you're just buying and holding stocks, it is too late. There's no practical way for that to grow, you know, at a nice rate of return. But again, because you can trade fast-moving assets within the IRA, like futures or forex currencies, if you do keep those profits in the account, you can actually grow a very nice size IRA in a short amount of time.
Sure. So, you know, those are some of the rules. But, you know, the most important thing, I think, to understand about all this is that, you know, if you're working with financial professionals, family planners, not family planner, what am I trying to say?
Financial planner. Family planner.
Family planner is something
Planned
different
parenthood.
Than what we're right, than what we're talking about here today. But, you know, you need to just figure out what's in the game for those people. You know, those guys, they make a ton of money. And I, by the way, I'm not against people making money in our free enterprise system here in the United States. I think it's great. But just realize that they're using your money to make themselves rich.
Right.
And then they're leaving you susceptible to market swings out there. And it doesn't matter if the markets go up or go down. They still make their paycheck. They're still going to get in their Maserati and drive to their mansion with their trophy wife and their swimming pool at home, right? So that's basically the reality of this stuff. So you know what? I think what we'll do after the break is talk a little bit about the aspect of trading.
Right.
Because that's the fun thing that we teach at the Academy. That's how you can really... And it's also a solution that a lot of people use in retirement if they didn't do well
right.
at preparing for that. So we'll pause real quick, folks, but we'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome back. Hey, folks, if you're just now joining us, this is Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum in studio with my good friend and co-host Matt McGrath. And we want to give a shout out to all of our listeners today. If you're a loyal listener, and there, yeah, I know you actually do exist because I meet you at the center all the time, right. Learning Center. Thank you so much for listening to the show, Matt. And Matt and I really enjoy doing this show.
I appreciate it.
Every week, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you. If you're just now joining us, maybe you'll set a reminder in your Apple Watch or your Apple phone or, I don't know, some smart device to remind you that we're on the airwaves.
Can you do an Echo reminder now?
You can do an Echo reminder. And, Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa. Yeah,
Alexa, remind me to listen to Power Trading Radio on Saturday. So, you know, we promised you before the break that we would talk a little bit about trading. And trading and investing are two different activities. They're similar.
Right.
Because we're buying and selling, and we're using leveraging assets in the financial markets.
And we want the accounts to grow.
And we want the accounts to grow, right. But we've been talking a lot about preparing for retirement in this show, more importantly, becoming financially independent so that you're no longer dependent on a job. That lets you retire, and you can enjoy your lifestyle, right, that you prefer. But sometimes people are just too late. I mean, sometimes we've had students that are in their 50s and early 60s that are just now starting to get worried about what am I going to do here?
Right.
If I quit my job in 3 years, I don't have enough money. And trading is also an alternative to this. It can be an alternative solution. We kind of frame it at the Academy. If you're trading, what you're doing is it's a little more active involvement in the financial markets because you're buying and selling with higher frequency. And you're looking to create income from that and do it daily, weekly, monthly. And so back in the day when after I was a student at the Academy, I think the average student that went to the Academy, they were trying to put out fires because they just simply didn't plan that number. And so they had no life savings and they had nothing to fall back on. And they didn't want to work anymore. So trading seemed like a pretty good alternative to that. So trading, again, is frequent buying and selling, and we do it with one or more of four major assets.
Right.
Everybody's heard of the stock market. Now, the stock market, in my mind, isn't the best thing to trade. It's not day trade.
It's a better long-term investment vehicle, but in my opinion, I'm going to go ahead and say it's the worst thing to trade.
Okay. And you want to back that up?
The problem with trading stock is, again, when we're trading, we're trying to extract money from the market daily, right? So we want to go in and out and take money out of the market. Stock moves too slowly.
Yeah, okay? So the price moves.
Yeah, so the stock, that means we buy something today and it does not hit its target, which is where we're going to take our profits. So we have to keep it open overnight. And most stock trades actually are what are called swing trades, where it moves so slowly that it takes up to 2 weeks for that trade to be finished.
Right.
Okay. Now, the problem this creates, by the way, is that now we don't have any capital to trade tomorrow. All of our money is tied up in those trades that we did yesterday.
Yeah.
And then to add insult to injury, when those stock trades are finally finished, stock is the only asset class that has what's called a settlement period, where it takes the broker 2 days. It's called T+2 for them to put the money back into your account. So that's now another 2 days that we can't trade unless we want to trade on margin, which is now borrowed money. So that's a whole other issue, right?
Right.
So when we're trading for income, we want to trade something that moves quickly. And the two assets that move quickly are futures and Forex currencies. So the big benefit of trading those assets is because they move quickly, the trades we set up today are actually completed. Mm-hmm. That money comes right back into our account, and we now have the money to trade again tomorrow. There's no settlement period.
Right. And futures and Forex are open 23 hours a day. Well, 23 and 24-hour markets, 6 days a week. But they're global markets, and that's why they move so fast. There's a lot of action that happens in those markets, whereas if you limit yourself to the U.S. stock market, there's only about How many is there? 7,200?
There's about 7,200 publicly traded companies that you could trade if you wanted to.
Right. And it's a domestic market. You know, some foreign countries do come in and buy American stocks, but there's just not as much play in there to create the volatility that you need.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the volume of the Forex market or most of the futures. And then also, they're not leveraged assets. In other words, when we buy 100 shares of stock, I mean, we literally have to buy those shares.
Right. Whereas, and you're paying full price to control the asset. Price.
Whereas with futures and Forex, you're only having to put up X amount of dollars to control. For example, a popular future that's traded by many of my students is the Dow Jones Industrial Future. So if you actually had to buy a real contract of the Dow Jones Future to launch that trade, it would cost you over $100,000. But the broker typically only takes out between $800 and $1,200 out of your account for you to control that trade.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we don't need as much money to trade futures. That's why they move so quickly, because they're leveraged assets.
Got it. Yep, you're right. So we talked about futures, we talked about Forex, the foreign exchange market, we talked about the U.S. stock market. The one that we've left out is the options market. And
right.
An options contract provides you with the right to buy or sell a specific asset on or before a specific date at a certain price. And these can be traded as well. It's a leveraged asset. But more importantly, the reason why Wall Street created this contract is that they wanted to be able to hedge their investments. It
right.
provided them the right to get out of that investment and get their money back and not lose any money, right? And that's what you should be using it for in your long-term accounts.
Right. That's what we teach students to use it for.
Sure.
And you can day trade options, but I'll tell you, it's the rare student. I've met over 5,000 traders in my career. It's the rare student I've met who day trades options for income who does it consistently profitably.
Right. So, you know, when you're trading, and by the way, if we were to teach you how to trade, we would teach you a patented rule-based strategy, because we need to be able to manage our risk. The financial markets are risky. They're complex. We need to identify where it's likely that price is going to change on a chart, where it's going to start going up or start going down. And price changes all the time in the financial markets. It happens because of imbalances of supply and demand.
Right.
We teach our students how to identify imbalances of supply and demand where they likely exist on a chart. And so we're going to put the odds in your favor. Now, are you never going to lose on a trade?
No.
No, you're going to lose on trades. Wall Street loses on trades, and they're wildly profitable every day. But they do lose on trades. So what we want to do is we want to minimize our losses, make them small, and then keep our gains large.
We want to make more on our winners than we lose on our losers.
Yeah. So if you're placing 4 day trades a day as a trader, as we teach our students to do at the academy, and let's say you're trading a $5,000 futures account, well, you're going to be targeting, if you're right on just half of your trades, which is a very conservative view of this, if you're right on only half, you'd be targeting a net profit in that account of $200 a day.
Exactly.
If you're trading 5 days a week, that's $1,000 a week. 4 weeks in a month, that's $4,000 return on a $5,000 account. Now, that is a fairly lucrative monthly return, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. And not even possible in the stock market.
Right, not possible. But your long-term investments, wouldn't you be excited if you got like a 10% return?
Oh, I see people every week that are excited who are getting that.
And that would be an annual return. I'm talking about this is like an 80% monthly return by buying, active buying and selling.
The stock market would be unbelievable.
So it becomes a very good solution for those people that have a little bit of time to do it. How much time does it take if you're placing 4 trades? Really, 45 minutes to an hour when you're new to it?
If you're actually following the written trade routine that we give you, you put blinders on and you actually follow that step by step, it takes about 45 minutes.
Yeah, and then the software that we use, by the way, it's technology, and you can tell the software, hey, I'd like to buy AT&T at this price. I want you to sell it at this price for a profit. And then we also teach our students how to take a loss. If you're going to accept a loss, what's the best way to control that? Well, how about putting a sell order in there for that loss?
Right.
So before you even enter the trade, you know how much money you're going to lose on it. And our rule of thumb is we're never willing to lose more than 1% of our account on any given trade.
Now, when you get really experienced, some of them will risk 2%, but I still risk 1%. I've been this 9 years.
And you know what? A lot of people think that it takes a lot of money to get started doing this. And you do need some stake money. I don't know if I said that right.
No.
But you need money to put into an account so that you can buy and sell. If you're going to be in the business of buying and selling, the first thing you do is buy. And without that, then, of course, you can't go into business. But it's not as much money as you'd think. If you wanted to open a Forex account, largest market in the world, you can start with as little as $2,000.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to conquer the world in that account. You'd be targeting about $80 a day.
Right.
If you traded that 6 days a week, it's about $1,900 a month on a $2,000 account.
Though. Yeah, and you know, that's not bad. I mean, I meet people here every week that's life-changing money to them. I mean, it actually replaces their income. The key, though, is whatever you do, whatever you trade, you want to leave some of the profits in the account. So when the account doubles now, we can double what we're targeting each day. So in the example that you just gave, if we did leave all of our profits in the account the next month, we'd be targeting $160 in a day,
yep.
Which is even better income. If you left those profits in, now you'd be targeting $320 a day and so on.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's what a lot of our students do, by the way, is they just keep the money in there. They don't spend it. And then they let the account grow until they get to a level where they can actually replace their income and then retire to do it full time.
Yeah, like that student, remember last month that we had on the show, Dan, who made $192,000 in 1 month
right.
trading futures. You know, I remember when he came to the school 3 years ago in 2015. Did he start with a $100,000 account?
Nope.
No. Again, the key is that he left his profits in. I think he's only taken two major distributions in 3 years.
Is that right?
Bought that home in Panama, and he bought a home in Lake Tahoe.
Right. So pretty cool gig. Well, folks, we're just about out of time for today. On behalf of our producer, Mr. Matthew Roberts, my good friend and co-host, Matthew McGrath, my name is Christopher Crum. Thanks again for tuning in today. Don't forget to check us out on the World Wide Web at tradingacademy.com.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.